Welcome to Alphabet Fly Encyclopedic Marvel Journey, where I go through the official handbook of the Marvel Universe with guests, talk about all the characters we know and love and have forgotten as well. My name is Art, and with me today is a person who may or may not be a caveman. Perry.
A ringing endorsement. For sure. Hello, everybody. Hello, Art. Good to be speaking with you again.
We are wrapping up family week. We're talking about a papa.
I'm one of those.
Yep. Yep. So, Ulysses Bloodstone. He didnn't really meet his daughter. So,
I have met mine, though. Mere seconds after she, arrived in the world.
Yep. And some would say you also met her sometime today. as well.
Yes, I met her as her eyes opened and she greeted the morning. First she yelled help twice for no particular reason, and then I went in to get her up out of bed.
Well, okay, first off, you know you're lying with that.
What do you mean?
Everyone needs help constantly. Look around at the world.
Okay.
She was just saying help because
that's fair.
It,
that's know? Fair.
Everyone needs help.
Look, she is a tiny baby human. And she does need help a lot.
And you're a big baby man, and you
Bingo.
Also need help a lot.
You have cracked the
you're
you
made
have cracked
for
the
each
case,
other.
My friend. Another.
It's just babies helping other babies.
I turned 30 this past week, and I still feel like a child.
Now, that being said.
What a segue.
We are going to be talking about someone who definitely is no longer a baby man. Ulysses Bloodstone. Which, by the way, is his government name. So, Ulysses Bloodstone. His aliases are Frank, Redstone Kid, Ahab. Yes, that one.
Really?
Ahab. Numerous others. Possibly mistaken for Beowulf. He is a... tall Scandinavian looking man
with a big rifle
who looks kind of like what I think a caveman would. Real strong face, just a strong face. Imagine what a face is and then to be like, wow, that's so strong, because that's what his face looks like. Who's he created by? Okay. He was created by John Werner, Lynn Wein, and Marv Wolfman, by the way. Occupation: adventurer, hunter, soldier of fortune, former movie actor, major in the Army of Colonial America, hunter-gatherer, and others.
Hunter-gatherer is really funny to me.
Citizenship, none. Place of birth, Northern Vanaheim, later Scandinavia, European continent, circa 8,250 BC. Your mom's about that.
All right. Daggum it. You got me again. Ooh. You got me again.
Woo. Yeah, okay. Known relatives: Elsie, widow; Elsa, daughter; possibly other wives or children over the millennia. Group affiliation: formerly the Explorer Clubs and Monster Hunters, which is... same people, Dr. Drew and Makari, Namor and Zawadi. And then part of the Pequod. Yes, that Pequod. And unnamed Veneer tribe. Education unrevealed. And his first appearance ever, I put in the put it in the chat already, was Strange Tales Annual, issue number 1, in September 1962. I unleash the shag upon the world. And there's a lot going on with this cover, so let's go through it real quick. So
yes, there is a lot happening.
Yeah. So it has, this is when it was Monster Tales, basically. Just Monster Tales in general. And there's a lot. We will talk briefly about it. This is all reprinted stories, which this is what Annuals used to be. It used to just be like a way for you catch to up. Get a lot of reprinted yeah. stories real quick. And like they were big. Like, you know, like it'd be like close to like, you know, 60, sometimes even 100 yeah. pages or so. Like it's just, you know, it costs more. You get a lot of story. Annuals do reprint stories now, like as like a backup normally. If they do reprint, do any reprints. But most of the time, Annuals is just like a way for writers to tell a story, which is like pseudo canon. Like it's definitely canon, but like you don't have to place it
right.
during like the time. You don't have to place it during any yep. particular yep. time. You can go into the past, future, blah, blah, blah.
Here's what happened right after now, Norman Osborn found out that Peter Parker was Spider-Man. But we didn't talk about it when it was first.
Yeah, like, you know, like
when this first happened.
Also, it's a great place to retcon yeah. stuff as mm-hmm. well. Great place to retcon stuff. Because you go back, retell old stories with a slight bent, and then be like, well, actually, Reed wasn't a creep that groomed one of his students into dating him. Yeah. Okay. Now, so on the cover, we have just a mouche-bouche of some of the stories that you would have. You have just five panels, or six panels, technically. The first one is Grotu, the king of insects, and you have a giant ant crawling up the side of a wall and some dudes just trying to get to the top. Then the indescribable Diablo, which is just, by the way, I'm about to do something like impossible right now. Looks like a smoke monster. I just described Diablo.
Wow.
I just did something like, yeah.
Doctors hate this one trick.
Yeah. And there's like a white lady. Looks like she's about to be grabbed. The miraculous Martian. And there's a Martian guy landed. There's some civilians being like, what? In the foreground. Then there's the shadow thing, which is a guy standing in front of a thing made out of shadows. Not the thing, but like a thing, lowercase t.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the serpent creature, which does not look like a serpent.
No, it looks creature. It looks like more like a
yeah, it looks like if Fing Fang Foom was like short, like a squat Fing yeah. Fang Foom. Like not like super long Fing Fang Foom. And then it's like in this epic issue you'll meet all of these fantastic minutes and many more. And I just want to go through a list of these. I kind of want to read some of these because I think it would probably be fun. But you have I Released the Shag, and that's Shag with two G's, upon the world. I came from the shadow world. He waits for us in the glacier. Sorry, I put in a carabang at the end. In the glacier. I became a human bomb. Ratu, the king of insects. I know the secret of the poltergeist. I saw the serpent that saved the world. A stranger in space. I saw Diablo, the demon from the fifth dimension. I found the giant in the sky. Beware, the ghost surrounds me. That's two exclamation points at the end. I saw the invasion of the stone men. A Martian among us. Wait, among us?
Sounds sus to me.
Okay. That was the sounds Among sus Us to me, sound. Bro. Yeah, real sus. Yeah, so sus. okay. that's going to sound seamless in the edit.
I never doubted.
But yeah,
I
never there's doubted. A lot of stories in that one. Yeah. Let's get to his stuff real quick. So, in the distant past, an ancient race of gods existed in an alien universe where chaos, rather than order, was the binding force of chaos. Sorry, of the cosmos. These gods created the blood gem in order to conquer other dimensions, intending to turn these realms into a form similar to their own. The blood gem served as a conduit for the energies of the Hellfire Helix, an interdimensional nexus point, which, through all magics and energies pass, these energies somehow created a consciousness known as the Exo Mind.
I am so impressed.
So, okay, yeah. As per the wishes of these gods, the Exo Mind claimed Ulixi Quan Te Sin as its guardian. The god needed 5 such guardians to complete the ritual necessary for interdimensional travel. However, the Exo Mind had no interest in becoming the Elder Gods, in the outcome of the Elder Gods' goals, and sabotaged their ritual. The Blood Gen was hurled across time and space, arriving in the final stages of a collapsing universe. The Blood Gen survived the death of that reality, and was released during the subsequent Big Bang that created the current Earth dimension. The Blood Gem spawned the future star of Capistan at some point. Ooh. By the way, if you have starts in a distant past or something, ancient time.
Backstory started in ancient times and interacts with ancient all-powerful being or organization.
Yep.
Hot dog.
Got it. Yeah. billions and billions of years later, the Blood Gem was one of the gems that brought to Kree-Lar by scientists investigating the Alpha and Omega Stones, uniting a series of artifacts which had accessed the Hellfire Helix. The gems were linked to form the Life Stone Tree, which genetically remade 8 representatives to serve as the chosen 8 of fate.
I'm going
to
go with...
occasionally referred to the Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm going to go
with glosses over complicated concept on this one.
Yes. You got a good one for this one.
This thing happened, and then it kind of stuff, something else did it, and bing, bang, boom, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, by the way, we are doing a new thing. I forgot to introduce it. We are doing
a
bugle, or the old hot moo entry bingo. I have 89 terms that can pop up on these randomly, and both me and Perry are playing just as a little fun side game, mostly for us, to see if we can get a bingo.
And if you want to play along, the link should be in the description as well.
Yep. Also, if you have Guardians of the Galaxy on there, I will accept it.
I do not.
Whose purpose was to maintain peace among the inhabited worlds? The group was active for over 200 years. After which, galactic peace collapsed. Efforts to steal the Life Stones caused a warp drive implosion, creating a fissure in space which shattered many of the Life Stones to the far corners of the galaxy and beyond. Among these were the crystals that would become known as the Godstone, which empowered Star God of the Other Realm and the Wolfman and the Man-Wolf, which would later empower both incarnations of Moonstone as well. The Power Prism, which empowered Dr. Spectrum, and the gem that empowered Blue Diamond. Like the Bloodstone, the Blood Gem, many of the Life Stones have complex origins prior to creation of the Life Stone Tree.
Another complicated...
You still haven't talked about it yet, by the way.
That's good stuff. This is a long entry too.
The Blood Gem The Blood Gem itself arrived on Earth in 8250 BC. The utilization of the Blood Gem had allowed it to be located anew by the Exo Mind, which allegedly decided that it wished to absorb the evolution of humanity through disinterested eyes. It required a host whose entire existence revolved around a singular purpose. It decided on revenge. The Exo Mind dispatched Ulixil to Earth, where he rapidly created a citadel in a cavern around the Bloodstone. The gem's fiery trip through the Earth atmosphere had drawn attention to a hunter who directed his subsequent hunts in that direction. Spying on a cloaked figure, Ulixil, the hunter followed him into a cave where he approached an advanced citadel. Though shocked by Eluxel's monstrous appearance, the hunter was granted great power by Ulixil and sent to bring his tribe to the citadel so they too can gain power. However, the ceremony proved fatal to the hunter's tribe, and the hunter surviving due to energies now possessed, he now possessed, leaped atop of the blood gem to stop the process. The blood gem exploded, and one geometrically perfect fragment embedded itself into the savage's sternum, and the other scattered across the planet. The blood gem fragments were accessed only by certain wavelengths of energies. The hunter became immortal and decided himself to exact revenge upon Yluxil, the being who was responsible for his people's death, and eventually took the same name. It took the name Ulysses Bloodstone. In time, the fragments became in possession of others, such as Ra of the Hill People, one of the Acronauts, and the man known at various times as the Mad Merlin, the Magus, Mahayogi, and Merlin Demon Spawn. Oh, I got another one. Powers via science experiment.
Ooh, do I have that one?
Maybe not have it.
Never mind. I had it on the last one.
Also, I would consider that cosmic based as well. He does have cosmic based powers. No, I'm going to mark that one. No, that one's not in the spirit. I just want to say you have to be in the space for that one. For hundreds of centuries, Bloodstone pursued his goal of taking down Yluxil, while Yluxil sought to regather the blood gem fragments. To keep Bloodstone from reaching him, Yluxil dispatched hordes of extradimensionally born monsters to kill him. Bloodstone's triumph over the creatures that stood against him, but only succeeded in locating his arch foe a handful of times. When he lost Yluxil's trail completely and was not involved in learning new languages, skill, and knowledge, Bloodstone went into a self-induced suspended animation, sometimes up for a century at a time. I want that power. I want to be able to just be like, okay, I'm just like going to functionally not exist as a person for a little bit.
Oh, that would be nice.
You're like, I just do it. Like, I just like, man, I really don't like summer right now. I'm just going to wait and then be like,
too hot.
Now, shortly after his mutation, Bloodstone banished the powerful alien Orgo. He was present in ancient Egypt during the rise and fall of the Greek and Roman empires, and during the formation of Britain's parliament. At some point, he fought the mighty dragon Fing Fang Foom. If you have kaiju, put that on there.
No kaiju.
Bloodstone also served as a swashbuckling pirate on the high seas and enjoyed the Renaissance and fought demon as one of the Puritans. He served as a major in the American Army during the Revolutionary War, fighting alongside General Wallace Worthington and the Captain America of that time period. I do not know that. Can you look that up real quick? Because that's going to be a thing we probably want to look at. The Captain America of the Revolutionary War.
Give me just a moment. I do have Captain America on my bugle board, though.
You got it. Oh, good. Got it. In the 19th century, he took the name Ahab and was the captain of the Pequod, during which he uses time to pursue an incarnation of the Atlantean Giganto, which gave rise to the legend of Moby Dick. That's not a legend. That's just someone wrote it down as a novel.
This is insane.
Okay.
This is insane.
In the American West.
Earth 616 Captain America from the Revolutionary War. Steven Rogers. I hate this.
Well, I mean, of course there'd be Steve. He looks like Spirit of he looks like a like Spirit of 76.
Yeah. So strange.
What? Okay, when did he appear?
Captain America number 194, November 1975.
Let me see if they have a synopsis of that real quick. Rainbow. Oh, okay. The Steven Rogers character from the Revolutionary War later was revealed to be the colonial costume version of the modern Captain America. Okay, so it's just Cap. A retcon to be Cap from modern day when he was sent back in time. Where'd he get this?
That's so
okay,
weird.
Whatever. I'm not gonna. It is. Okay. Yeah, so Moby Dick, the whale, was actually Giganto from Atlanta, which is a whale with arms and legs and wears swim trunks. They don't see his bit. A lot like Pearl from SpongeBob, but like a dude and bigger. In the American West, Bloodstone took the alias Redstone Kid. During this time, he unsuccessfully tracked the living totem, which is exactly what it sounds like.
Wait, how old was he at this point?
An alien who looks like a totem.
Was he?
I'm not doing the math.
I mean, does that make him like a teen? But he's going by Blood Boy or whatever?
No, but like people, kid meant something different. Like, Rawhide Kid wasn't a child.
Oh, well, okay, good point.
Billy the Kid wasn't a child.
Because my brain was like, does that make him a teen superhero? No, it does not.
No, it doesn't. He's like literally thousands of years old.
Yeah.
Before he reached after Christ.
I messed up.
In the early 20th century, Bloodstone acquired a fortune through mercenary work and shrewd investments. Okay, I have questions. Early 20th century.
Yes.
The I would say the century of genocide. How do you know?
I don't know.
Okay, mercenary work. Did he help Robert Rhodes and Rhodesia? Get Rhodesia? Did he do the, like, mercenaries are using a lot of bad places. Okay. Bloodstone served as a biplane pilot during World War I. On which side? You need to tell me.
You legally have to tell me.
What side did he fight out of the Civil War?
You legally have to tell me.
You have to tell me. Fought Nosferatu vampires during the 1930s. During World War II, he encountered the Blonde Phantom. On which side?
I don't know.
They need to tell me what side of very important wars he's on.
We have to know.
Is this going to be a thing where, like, all the vampires, like, in the, like, True Blood and Vampire Diaries were Confederates type thing? Or, you know, which side? Tell me.
You literally have to tell me.
Because it just says he encountered the Blonde Phantom. That can mean a lot.
They just met in an alley one day.
I mean, I'm just saying he wouldn't look bad in a Hugo Boss suit. Saying. He's tall. In Scandinavia, so a lot of places would take them. I just want to know which sides. In the 1930s, I already said that. In 1956, as Frank, he defeated the monstrous ant Grotu and helped form the Monster Hunters, eventually encountering the likes of Gorgilla, Gigantus, the Deviant Crow, who had been releasing many of the monstrous mutates that plagued the Earth at this time. Skrulls, and the heroes that would become the first line. Bloodstone also encountered the smoke monster Diablo, Dracula, Frankenstein's monster, Gorkil, and the living mummy, among countless others. Bloodstone encouraged the monster hunters to contribute to his lengthy monster journals, and they gathered stories from other fantastic encounters. By the late 19th century, Bloodstone helped establish the bases in six different locations across the globe, each with hand-picked operatives. These included Bloodstone Island, Tropic of Cancer, near the Caribbean Ocean, Mini Base 9, Harlem, New York, a base near Moscow, Russia, a mansion in Boston, Massachusetts, and at least two others. At some point, he married a woman named Elsie, whom he had a daughter, Elsa, but Ulysses left when Elsa was 2 years old. In the modern era, after defeating a psychic monster known as the Professor, Bloodstone allowed the Blood Gem's guidance to work in film with the director P.D.Q. Werner and the actor Brad Carter. The latter accompanied Bloodstone on adventures. Okay, that's cool. The Exo Mind allegedly came to tire of experiencing life through Bloodstone. It had Ulexil ally himself with the conspiracy. If you have organization with vague name, mark that. A group of four others, Surgeon Dr. Juden Barham, a dark sorcerer Kabbalah, Ecdesitas Bubble O'Day, and an intelligent dolphin named Atlan. That's a really evil group. If they have an intelligent dolphin, like, that dolphin's probably one of the most evil things on Earth. Assembled by the Exomind to complete the five being necessary to channel the Hellfire's Helix's full energy into the Earth. The conspiracy was told that they would gain the Helix powers while giving the Exomind a new perspective. The conspiracy assisted Yluxil in assembling the remaining blood gem fragments, but they betrayed Yluxil, backing the evolved scientist Centurius, who slew Yluxil and replaced him in the conspiracy. When Bloodstone became attracted to the reporter Samantha Eden, the conspiracy dispatched their agent Domino, and that's Dominic Dunsinan, to prevent Bloodstone from becoming distracted from his single-minded quest, thus causing the Exomind to lose his hold on him. Because remember, it was through revenge that the Exomind was seeing through, not love or whatever. After battling agents of the conspiracy, including the Killer Shrike and the monsters Goram and Sarzan, a Bloodstone was captured by Kabbalah, and the conspiracy cut the blood gem fragment out of his chest, leaving him for dead while they perform the ceremony to resemble the fragments and gain their power. However, the Exomind instead absorbed the conspiracy's life force, transforming the blood gem into a giant, which it inhabited and rampaged through Manhattan, clinging to life via the residual blood gem energy. Bloodstone confronted the crystalline creature, cast a soul inside of it, disrupting the Hellfire Helix, severing the Exomind's connection to the Earth, shattering the blood gem. Bloodstone's form collapsed, leaving only a lifeless skeleton. Years later, Baron Helmut Zemo located Bloodstone's skeleton in the Museum of Natural History and used his sternum as a divining wand to track down the blood gem fragments, which he tried to resurrect his father, Heinrich. However, the assembled blood gem summoned the Exomind, which possessed Zemo's form, and made plans to take over the Earth, but then, like, it was shattered and then fell into a volcano, banishing the Exomind once again. Elsa was later given a blood gem fragment and her father's journal, and then she became a monster hunter as well. So, he's 5'6", weighs 225 pounds. Again, too light for someone that tall and insane. That muscular. Yeah, he would be a beanpole.
That's an insane. Not be that's nearly an insane
as defined
weight.
As he is. He should be closer to 300 pounds. Oh, and he had blue eyes, blonde hair. The blood gem fragments granted Bloodstone superhuman strength, agility, and senses, and vast regenerative powers, enabling him to regenerate from virtually any injury up to the dispersal of a vital portion of his bodily molecules. He was immune to aging and conventional diseases, did not require food, water, or air, and the removal of the blood gem proved rapidly fatal. He possessed an invisible third eye on his forehead, which granted him extrasensory perception, granting him to see human auras, thus seeing people in the dark, and mentally access the astral planes. He also had limited telekinetic powers. It could enter suspended animation. Bloodstone was also experienced in virtually every human form of combat and martial arts, had vast knowledge of weaponry, and he used a bunch of bladed and ballistic weapons. His favorite was a specially designed shotgun that spiraled explosive shells that he psychically detonated. The shotgun could fire 5 rounds before it required reloading. He had weapons designed specifically for vampires, and had a lamp that sensed danger and could transport him to its site. That's him. Let me see if I have anything else. Trained in marksmanship.
I got that.
Yeah.
Now I think I have a bugle.
I want to confirm
it with you.
Share your screen.
Hold on. The only one I'm not entirely sure about is uses gadgets.
Baron Zemo, Captain America, interacts with all powerful ancient all-powerful being organization uses gadgets. I would well, say hot got dog. It.
The got very the first bugle.
You got the first one.
Well, I guess more. I got
the very first bugle
because it was just in the E column.
I was too away. He didn't seemingly die at any point, and he didn't interact with the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. So,
I mean, I also could have gotten it if he only showed up in a few issues and got powers due to suit/gun malfunction, but he was pretty prominent. So, there you go.
Yep.
Cool. The first bugle in recorded history. Now yep. I want some chips.
First though, we need to do.
Oh yes, we do.
Tribute. Hey, did you remember anything I just told you about? How many were in the chosen? Never mind. Was the blood gem? How many dimensions did the blood gem go through before it hit Ulysses?
How many dimensions?
Yeah. Well, let me say this. How many universes / dimension?
Six?
That was... Two.
Oh, I think I was thinking of the Guardians that they talked about. I don't remember. I don't know.
Nah. There's this. But what do you think of Ulysses?
Interesting character for the large part, but I feel like he's got this... I don't know. There's something about reading about him that makes me feel not super excited about the character. I feel like most of his magic comes from actually reading appearances, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he's more like he feels much more like a character that pops up and you're just, hey,
yeah,
that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah. That's my thoughts. That's my feelings.
We will be talking about one of the people who got, that was mentioned in this entry.
Well, hot dog in that special. Well, yep. Until then, if you want to support the show, you can head to patreon.com/alphabetflight. Get a little money, you know, help us out. You listen to the podcast every week. You want to show your love and support every month. Just a little bit, a little teeny tiny bit of money. That's all it takes. You can go follow the show as well on all social media at Alphabet Flight. And head to alphabetflight.tumblr.com. That's the best way to see the characters that we are talking about on every episode. And then you can also follow me if you want at Bourbon Pod or at PRaider1792. And that's how you find out about my other show as well. It's called This Is My Bourbon Podcast. It's a fun time. And I believe that about does it for this week's episode. We'll catch you guys real soon.
Well, this has been Alphabet Flight, and may Conchu protect you through all of your night travels. Good night.